What's with the first 100 days? I'm David Brancaccio. First, Google's parent company Alphabet reports the search giant profited from so many digital ads last quarter. Record sales, even amid moves in Washington to rein in tech biggies like Google. Sales were up 34% from a year earlier, $55 billion in profits. More broadly, tech firms, like everyone else, are trying to figure out what life looks like as pandemic recedes. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Some of the biggest tech companies represent about a quarter of the S&P 500's market cap. And Scott Kessler at the investment firm Third Bridge says these rich companies just got richer as a result of the pandemic.
A lot of these companies, from a revenue perspective, have seen accelerated demand and growth given some of the challenges last year.
He says quarterly results will likely reflect that, but tech companies understand that subscription-based services might struggle to win new customers if and when people go back to the office. Although Daniel Ives at Wedbush Securities says even on the other side of the pandemic,
we expect you'll have 30-35% of employees that will be working remote or semi-remote, and that just puts more and more pressure on the cloud and from a digital infrastructure perspective.
So he says the investments the tech firms made during the pandemic into the digital infrastructure will continue to benefit those companies through at least the next quarter. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Google Alphabet's sales were $55 billion. When we write the financial history of 2021, there'll be pages devoted to a hedge fund of which you may never have heard, Archegos. It manages the fortune of Bill Huang, a Wall Street guy. It made bets on stocks it didn't really own using a fancy technique. Well, last month it all went wrong, and bust went the fund. But so what? Well, some of the biggest banks in the world had lent money to Archegos, and as the quarterly reports of those banks come in, the combined losses by banks are now reportedly in the $10 billion range. Why didn't the banks see the risk? Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
The hedge fund was using something called total return swaps. I don't want to go too deep there, but it's fancy footwork that attracts less regulatory scrutiny.
Yeah, it has two features that make it doubly dangerous. One, lots of leverage, and two, lots of secrecy. The fund does not have to disclose to anybody what its positions are. Does it own $100 million of CBS? Does it own $100 million of any other company? Nobody but the fund knows.
Yeah, and then you have this scary term, risk contagion. The risk and the effects here are not just being felt by Archegos.
Well, here's the hall of shame. The big Swiss bank, Credit Suisse, lost $5.4 billion. Japanese bank Nomura, $2.9 billion. Closer to home, Morgan Stanley, $900 million. Nothing makes a banker's brain go to mush like the prospect of earning big fees. And the banks earn big fees from these hedge funds. So really smart people do sort of dumb things.
So you think the regulators are going to pay attention to this moving forward?
After every episode of risk contagion, whether it's the big financial crisis or any other one, long-term capital management, there are hearings, there are new regulations, and those really smart bankers are smart enough to find ways around whatever the government comes up with.
Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Markets mixed. The S&P future is up 0.1%. Dow and NASDAQ futures are each down 0.1%. President Biden marks his first 100 days in office this week. His big speech is tonight. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has been looking into the economic history of this presidential milestone, and she joins us from Washington. Nancy, when did the first 100 days thing become a thing?
It started with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was sworn in for his first term in office in 1933 during the Great Depression. There were runs on banks, and many banks closed.
And what did FDR do in his first 100?
He got Congress to pass the Emergency Banking Act first, and that set up a system to decide which banks could reopen. A journalist and presidential historian Jonathan Alter told me FDR held his first fireside chat just a little more than a week after taking office, using it to convince people to redeposit the money they'd stashed under their mattresses.
In that first fireside chat, he said, "My friends, I want to speak to you tonight for a few moments about banking." And then he took a very complicated subject and made it very easy to understand.
But so many people had no jobs, therefore no money to deposit. What did FDR do for the in those 100 days to get people on payrolls?
He created the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and she says the CCC was the first large-scale jobs program in American history.
25% of households were unemployed, and that was in a day when wives did not work by and large, which meant when the breadwinner was unemployed, you had no money.
All right, so FDR tackles banking and unemployment. What else was on his 100-day list?
He signed 15 major pieces of legislation in his first 100 days, including the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated commercial banking from investment banking. There were also bills that began the process of regulating Wall Street. And toward the end of his first 100 days, FDR signed legislation that partly lifted prohibition.
I suppose these days it's cannabis getting legalized. Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you. I'm David Brancaccio. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.